disturbing from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 73 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. You can find me at facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Take a second out of your day, go over there and like that page if you don't mind. Also, I have a YouTube channel now, so if you want to head over to YouTube and search for Rock the Dragon Podcast, you can find the YouTube channel, find several videos that I've made. Everything is related to Dragon Ball. There is a relatively new video that I put up while I was breaking down the new trailer for the new Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super Broly movie. So in case you want my thoughts and opinions on that, you can find a pretty detailed video on that. So that's pretty new too. So head over there, subscribe. I say this every episode, but the sooner I get to 100 likes, the sooner I can do more things. 100 subscribers. The sooner I can do more things. So please, 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 if you're enjoying the show and you're coming back every week and you're listening anyway and you have a Gmail account, which I feel like 90% of us do, you know, take a minute and go subscribe to that page so I can get some more content out for you guys. I would very much appreciate it. With that being said, if you also have anything you want to say regarding the show, any positive feedback and such, you want to leave me a review, remember you can always head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or something of that nature and leave me a review there. No new reviews this week. I do have an email though, so if you want to send me an email with any questions or comments about the episode, anything else Dragon Ball related, for our email segment called What Are You Saying?, then make sure you send me an email to rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. That being said, we're going to go ahead and read this email. This email is from Jalen. Jalen, I'm not sure if you're a new listener, but this is definitely your first time writing in, so welcome. Welcome to What Are You Saying? Very glad to get an email from you. So let's go ahead and see what you have to say here. Jalen writes, episode 72. Yo, Tim, a couple things to speak on here. In your commentary of episode 72, you mentioned two things that I thought were deserving of a response. First, you raised the question of how Goku got back up after being resuscitated by the Ki Blast without any damage after being killed by Hit. The way it appears to me was that Hit stopped Goku's heart from beating with his punch. It would make sense that the greatest assassin in Universe 6 will be skilled enough to kill someone in such a way to leave no traces, i.e. stopping someone's heart without puncturing or damaging it using sheer force to shock it out of function. With that concept, it would make sense that Goku wouldn't be all that damaged, other than his brain possibly being deprived of oxygen, meaning that he wasn't healed by the Ki Blast, just resuscitated. Second, while speaking on the new Broly movie, you made a comment about Dragon Ball Z not having any fights in icy areas, or at least you said you weren't sure. I thought it would do you good to know that Dragon Ball Z movies took place within the ice in the Super Android 13 movie, as well as The World's Strongest. And if you go further back into Dragon Ball, which I'm aware you haven't seen most of, the Muscle Tower portion of the Red Ribbon Army arc took place in a snow and ice covered environment. That is all. Thank you for taking this email. Man, Jalen, a lot of corrections there, buddy, for your first email. No, it's cool. Let's see. Okay, so your very first. Yeah, okay. So you're saying that the way that you saw it. Okay, because this is something I brought up on episode 72. I was saying, you know, it's a little bit weird that Goku was killed after being, you know, basically having his heart punctured or whatever by Hit, and the Ki Blast that he sent up into the sky came down, and not only did it resuscitate him, it also healed him, so he wasn't damaged anymore. So what you're saying is that Hit's technique could have been more so of a shock wave of sorts that went through his chest and just sort of stopped and shocked his heart and made it stop, versus it being an actual direct sort of Ki Blast that would have done any actual physical damage. Hell yeah, sure. That's a perfectly good explanation. I didn't think about it like that. I'm so used to characters getting shot through the heart, and you're too, I'm I'm really used to characters just getting shot through the heart, you know, with like a beam or something like that. So I didn't really think about the fact that his, it could have just been emitting sort of this, this wave of energy, you know, like not an energy wave, but like a wave of energy or some sort that could have just released some sort of a shock wave that stopped his heart. I mean, that actually makes a lot more sense, to be honest with you. I think the reason why I assumed it was more than that is because they kind of go out of their way to show that part of his chest. You can see his gi sort of start to gather and sort of crumple in that area, you know. So I think I just assumed that there was some actual damage being done as a result of that. But also, I mean, I guess if there was any damage, it would have made an actual hole in his gi instead of just crumpling it. So that theory sounds completely plausible, makes perfect sense to me. So thank you for kind of pointing that out for me. And it would definitely explain how he was able to just kind of get back up and be back at full strength after being resuscitated, because he wasn't actually damaged. His heart just stopped. So, yeah, I mean, that's a perfectly plausible reason. Secondly, okay, so yeah, I think, I mean, I'm a little bit more inclined to say that I might have been not sure about there being many fights that happen in the snow in the Dragon Ball franchise. I hope I didn't come across as saying, you know, that I was positive about it, because very rarely do I say anything like that. I usually try to say, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but and a lot of times I just can't remember stuff, right? So you're saying that there were some other fights that happened in the Super Android 13 movie, The World's Strongest, that took place in the snow or on ice, makes perfect sense. I'm sure you're 100% right. Yeah, I haven't seen those movies in a while, and you know, my memory is not the greatest. So I don't recall there being any in the anime, though. Now, I could be wrong about that. But yeah, in a couple of the movies, I'm definitely sure that there was some iciness and some snow and stuff. I'm super excited to see how they utilize it, though, in this new Broly movie, now with the new technology and everything like that, and the progressions that they've had in terms of this adding a lot more CG and things like that to the animations, how that will look on the big screen. So I'm excited to see that. Every time we get to see some kind of new environment, I'm excited. So yeah, totally 100%. Great email there, Jalen. Thank you so much for sending me an email. Email me at any point in time. If you have anything you want to say, any questions, comments, concerns, send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. I noticed the emails have dropped off a good bit. I think this was the first one I got in about three weeks. I can only assume it's because these filler episodes are probably not, they're probably not that interesting to most of you guys. But I'm hoping that the emails start to come back in once we get into the next arc, which I'm sure they will. So thank you for everybody who has come along lately. I have noticed an increase in the numbers. So shout out to everybody that's new. Make sure you guys don't be afraid to stop by, say hello, say hey, head over to the Facebook page, give it a like, send me a message, shoot me an email, let me know what's up, let me know what you think. I'm always happy to hear from my listeners. You guys are the only reason why I do this shit, to be honest with you. You're the only reason I do it. So by all means, if you're enjoying yourself, do not hesitate to reach out and let me know what you think. And please continue to show support, continue to share the podcast and the page with any friends and, you know, coworkers or whoever the fuck you think might like it. All right. Okay. So with that being said, we're going to jump on into the episode talk for this week. So, of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 73, is going to cover episode 73 of Dragon Ball Super, titled Gohan's Plight, the Preposterous Great Saiyaman Film Adaptation. Well, I mean, I don't know what you guys thought when you first saw that title, but I was thinking, well, this could be fun. I mean, just based on the title itself, we know that Gohan is going to be featured in it a lot, okay, which is good. I mean, yeah, at this point in Dragon Ball Super, he's not the same Gohan that, he's probably still not the Gohan that we would prefer, but, you know, it's nice to kind of bring him back into the spotlight anyway, right? Because I've said it a million times, you know, we could always use a little bit less Goku, right? and even a little bit less Vegeta. And I mean, we see Goku for literally 2 seconds in this episode, and we don't see Vegeta at all. So it's kind of a nice break away from them. I've always kind of been excited at the idea of using these filler episodes to kind of follow a different character, you know, just to spend some time with some of the other characters. It's a perfect opportunity to have a side adventure with this person, that person. And I feel like Gohan was kind of the perfect person to pick for this episode. So that excited me right off the bat. Now, unfortunately, we also get Jaco this episode. Womp. Sorry for all the Jaco fans. I'm sure there's a lot of you guys out there, but if you've been listening for a long time, you know I'm not a big Jaco fan. I mean, I don't know, you know, his character just kind of bugs me. The fact that they just pretend like he's been around this whole time, and you know, but whatever, you know, if they find a good way to use Jaco, then he'll start to kind of grow on me a little bit. You know, and he's in this episode, but he's not in it a lot. And I think that makes it okay. If we just see him in bits and pieces every now and then, I think I'll be totally fine with it. And honestly, one of my favorite things about this episode is the way it starts off. Even though it involves Jaco, it starts off in the galaxy somewhere. We don't know where the hell he is. And he's just kind of sitting down and he's eating sushi or something. And you know, it just, this is the kind of stuff that I like in terms of world building or universe building, where we just kind of get to see some different stuff. You know, it makes this world feel even more fleshed out, especially since one of the main locations of Dragon Ball Super seems to be outer space. I mean, they didn't go outer space this damn much in Dragon Ball Z. Okay, I know they went to Namek. That's pretty much it, right? Don't quote me on that, though, because I don't remember everything. Okay, but there's definitely been a lot of space travel, interplanetary travel, interuniversal travel. So, you know, it's Dragon Ball Super. It's got to be super. They got to branch out. So I do kind of like this. You know, it reminds me of that scene. I'm sure many of you guys have seen Spaceballs, right? If you have not seen Spaceballs for some reason, just go ahead and just delete my podcast. Unsubscribe right now. No, I'm kidding. But Spaceballs is an awesome movie. If you haven't seen that, by some chance, go watch it. I mean, it's a parody of Star Wars, really. You know, not just Star Wars. It's kind of a parody of a multiple different sort of franchises, but mostly Star Wars, right? And, you know, there's a scene in there. I won't spoil it, but there's definitely a scene that takes place in this bar in outer space. And it just kind of reminds me of this, you know? It just kind of reminds me this reminds me of that, which is a good thing, absolutely. So we've got Jaco just kind of sitting there eating food. This is really just kind of a setup for something that kind of happens later on, which is cool because they're kind of experimenting, I think, here with the storytelling and the way that they're doing it and the way that they're structuring it. So I really like it. Basically, all we get from this is that we know that Jaco has this little creature inside of a jar inside of his ship because, once again, he is a space galactic patrolman. And he's supposed to be taking this thing to isolation or prison or whatever, but it escapes. Okay, so we can kind of put two and two together here and say it's probably going to end up on Earth. Okay, so basically we've got the setup and it's kind of a cool setup and it's not bad. I mean, it looks good. These outer space shots look good. And then we kind of jump into the episode itself. And of course, we know that we're going to start off. We don't know if we're going to start off this way. But we can assume based on the title that this episode is going to focus on Gohan for the most part. So, you know, for Gohan fans such as myself, I'm excited. You know, of course, it starts off. He's just kind of at home being a bookworm because that's what he is. But we get to see Videl and Pan again, and they're kind of made aware of this trailer on the television for this movie called Great Saiyan versus Mr. Satan. Okay, so we see where the plot is starting to sort of, the title of the episode is starting to work itself out here, and we find out that they're basically making a movie based on, well, loosely based on the Great Saiyan, because he never fought Mr. Satan in real life. So they're just kind of taking, you know, the Great Saiyan as a character and then kind of embellishing it by including Mr. Satan. Of course, Mr. Satan at this point is probably still one of the biggest celebrities on the planet. So it makes sense that they would try to get him in there too. But Gohan and Videl didn't know about it, so they're kind of shocked. Now, the first thing that kind of got me about this, and we'll come back to this later on, because there's definitely an explanation for it. But when I first saw it immediately, I was thinking, man, what a missed opportunity to have fun with a Great Saiyan costume, right? Because they're making this movie with this guy wearing a Great Saiyan costume, and it's like fucking 100% accurate as far as I'm aware of, right? So I'm thinking, well, why didn't they? Would it be that accurate? You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be a little bit off just because they probably don't know exactly what it was made out of and they didn't know exactly what it looked like close up and stuff? But once again, there's an explanation for that that happens later. But at the time of watching the episode, I didn't know that yet. So I was thinking, oh man, they should have made it look a little bit different just because it's an adaptation, right? Sort of based on a real guy who wasn't around very long. I mean, we were definitely under the impression now that Great Saiyan, it just kind of ended probably shortly after the Buu saga. I think the last we saw of it was he and Videl together doing this crime fighting thing, but it was very, you know, and she was dressed in a costume too, which they seem to just kind of abandon all that. I mean, we get to spend a lot of time with Videl here. I mean, she probably talks more in this episode than she's talked in the entire fucking series so far. And she's just so different. I think I mentioned this a while back. I had a listener who wrote in and asked me, you know, who's one of the characters that you wish they would focus more on in Super that hasn't been getting much attention? And I think I said Videl, you know? I mean, Gohan made sense too, but I think we were talking more so about like a character who, you know, hasn't been getting any attention at all. And yeah, I mean, Videl they have a kid now, but you know, she's so drastically different than she was in Dragon Ball Z. I mean, you remember how like she was very tough and sort of gung-ho and like, you know, she would jump into danger and she wanted to fight and she wanted to be a hero. And now she's just kind of a mom. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay being a mom at all, but you know, from a writing perspective, it's kind of boring for a character to just kind of become that and just they just leave it at that. And frankly, I think it's a little bit sexist. Okay, because women can kick ass and have kids. Okay, look at Chi-Chi. I mean, she hasn't been kicking much ass, but she's also been pretty consistent, right? She's still pretty much the same character now that she was in Dragon Ball Z. Videl's not, you know, so I don't know. But we also get to spend some time with Mr. Satan, my boy, one of the funniest characters in Dragon Ball, in my opinion. Love Mr. Satan. So there's a conversation here that's happening where he's kind of explaining, yeah, there's definitely a movie. There's a movie that he's in, and he couldn't say anything about it to them because of the non-disclosure agreements. That's one thing I do like about this episode is that they're really accurate when they talk about the movies. You know, just a lot of the terminology and stuff they use about actual movie productions is really accurate stuff. So it's small details like that that just make it kind of better. So, but they mentioned that there's this guy, I can't even remember what his name is now, but he's basically the star of the movie and he's playing the Great Saiyan Man. So we spend a little bit of time getting to know him, and obviously they're playing him up as this A-list star who's super pompous and super stuck up, and he's all high and mighty and shit, and he's just he's on set telling the director what to do and telling everybody what to do and the AD what to do because he's the star of the movie. He's kind of throwing his weight around and stuff like that. So now it's sort of a little special trip. Mr. Satan takes Gohan, Videl, and Pan to the set of the movie. We do see Goku for like a split second, I guess, just in case any of the viewers are wondering, well, where's Goku at this episode? They mention him because Gohan says, well, I wish I could bring my dad here, you know, and then they kind of show him for a quick second. He's just like sneezing on King Kai's planet. OK, off training, doing his thing. So we know where Goku is. Everybody calm down. We know where Goku is. OK, he's fine. We go back and then, you know, we just kind of revisit the set, and this woman, I guess it's Mr. Satan's co-star, just kind of shows up, kind of fans out for a minute. Mr. Satan introduces her to Gohan, Videl, and Pan. So, you know, we can assume at this point that this introduction isn't going to just be for nothing, right? Obviously, this character is going to come back later in some extent, to some extent. And there's even this moment where Mr. Satan is running his mouth a little bit too much. He seems a little bit really gung-ho to sort of reveal. I mean, we can assume that he was about to say, because they cut him off before he does it. But in case anyone's confused, I'm assuming that he was about to tell this girl, Coco, right? That's her name, Coco, something like that. That Gohan was actually the one who defeated Cell. I mean, that's kind of been the running sort of secret that Mr. Satan has been keeping for years now. And Gohan just still doesn't want anyone to know, because he wants to live a regular life. I mean, that's kind of his whole thing. He wants to live a regular life now. So he's kind of stopped there. So then the other guy shows up, the star of the movie, wearing, you know, the Great Saiyan outfit, immediately starts to hit on Videl, and Gohan's just kind of standing there. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, don't, you're just going to stand there and let this dude hit on your wife like that. You know, but when I realized that he was doing that, when he was just going to stand there, I thought that Videl was going to turn back into the old Videl for a second. That's what I was hoping. Because at this moment where they show a close-up of him kind of squeezing her hand, and I was like, well, Gohan's probably not going to do anything here because he's very non-aggressive, okay? But old Videl probably would have, like, body-slammed this dude, right? For hitting on her and touching her hand right in front of her husband. But no, even then, she stayed this boring-ass Stepford wife version of Videl that I really don't like. I think that would have been a really good opportunity to be like, oh no, the old Videl is still here to some extent. Don't get it twisted. Now, she does kind of frown at him for a second, too. So maybe it was like, okay, the old Videl was about to come out, but she just decided to restrain herself. But I think it would have been much more fun to watch if she just would have, like, slapped him in. You know how they do those over-exaggerated slaps in the back of the head? Like, she would have slapped him in the back of the head and his face would have cracked the concrete, you know, and he would have been laid out with the big X's over his eyes or something. I mean, that just would have been a cool opportunity to be like, you know, the old Videl is still in there. But no, she just kind of politely says, no thanks. And Gohan doesn't do anything and they just walk off. So, oh man, I don't know if I can get behind this new, completely non-violent, non-training, non-fighting Gohan of Videl, you know, duo. But yeah, they kind of have a sweet moment because, you know, Gohan saying, why not, Videl? You didn't want his autograph? And she's kind of like saying, you're my favorite, you know, kind of sweet moments. Like, no, you're my dude. You're my man. You're my husband. You know, that's good enough for me. So then we kind of go over to this. They're starting to shoot the movie. They're doing a scene here that involves a tank. I'm not going to get too deeply into this stuff. You guys know how these filler episodes are, okay? Unless there's something super fucking, you know, exciting or new happening story-wise, there's not a lot to talk about. So I'm going to kind of get to the point here and say that they're filming a scene and it involves a tank, and they realize, Gohan realizes that the star has a stunt double, basically, who's going to do all the stunts. And I was mentioning earlier how they're kind of pretty accurate with a lot of their movie talk here. And they mentioned something about him not being able to do it because, you know, if he gets hurt, then the movie has to cease production. So as someone who's been on a few movie sets, it's kind of cool to just hear them talk like that, I guess. But basically here, you know, he's asking this guy to sort of pull off this sort of impossible stunt. And if he doesn't do it, he's going to be fired. Right. So and Mr. Satan kind of tries to talk him out of it a little bit, but he starts quoting Mr. Satan. He pulls out his book and he says, OK, where have I heard that before? You know, he says that I got it from your book, basically. So he's just kind of a big Mr. Satan fan. And you know how Mr. Satan loves the compliments. But then we get this kind of interesting moment where Gohan sort of recommends that he do the stunt. I don't know if it's entirely clear as to why he did that. I mean, I'm not sure if it was because he was concerned for the safety of the stunt guy, and he was worried that the stunt guy would get fired if he didn't do it right, or if it was just because he kind of missed being Great Saiyan Man. He wanted to get in the costume. He does mention shortly after that that it'd be cool for Pam when she grows up to watch the movie, and he could say, you know, that was me. Your dad was a superhero in the movie, you know. Even though she's probably seen him in that suit a thousand times. There was an episode early on where he was dressing up as Great Saiyan Man just to entertain her. But I guess he's saying, well, in a movie, it might be cool for her to watch it one day. But, you know, it happens. So, you know, exactly what, you know, it pretty much goes exactly the way you would think it's going to happen at this point. And that's that Gohan does the stunt exceptionally well because he's Gohan. You know, he can fly. He can jump really high. He has super strength and all this kind of shit. So that's what happens, okay? He does the stunt extremely well. And it's just, you know, if you listen to episode zero of the podcast, you know, I like to remind my listeners every now and then that there is an episode zero where I talk about Dragon Ball Z, okay? I talk a little bit about Dragon Ball. I talk a lot about Dragon Ball Z. I talk a little bit about Dragon Ball GT. It's just an episode zero where I'm just kind of talking about the preliminary stuff. This is before Super even aired. I didn't know what Super was going to be. So I wanted to do an episode where I just kind of talked about Dragon Ball Z. So I go from the very first season all the way into the last. It's a very long episode, but it's a good episode. But I think somewhere in there I mentioned that I wasn't a really big fan of the Great Saiyan episodes that happened because they were just kind of boring, right? Like, who wanted to see Gohan run around dressed up as a superhero fighting petty criminals? We wanted to see him doing some big shit. Okay? So I wasn't crazy about that, but it's still kind of nice to see the Great Saiyan back in action, even if it's just for the nostalgia factor, right? Anything that reminds me of Dragon Ball Z is usually a good thing because that's the show that we all love the most, right? I mean, send me an, if you think Dragon Ball Super is better than Dragon Ball Z for some reason, send me an email. I would love to hear the reasoning behind that. Because I think there's a few people out there, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'll read the email. We'll talk about it, and I'll be interested to see from your perspective why you think Super is better. There's not many people that think that, but it's been brought to my attention recently that some people do think that. Anyway, so basically they're so impressed with Gohan doing the stunt that they kind of offer him the part to just keep doing it, right? I think that happens. Yeah, that does happen. So as a result, he kind of takes the costume home with him for the day, which I guess I get why he did that, maybe, but he also has his own costume, so I don't understand. I don't know, it's just kind of weird, right? Because I mean, he clearly still has his own. It comes out of his watch or whatever. But yeah, so, you know, it was really more so of a plot device. They needed him to walk out of there with that suit in the bag because that ties into what happens later with the guys being aware that he took it home in the bag. So, but we'll get more into that in a minute. But on his way home, he comes across a bank robbery, he's in Great Saiyan mode now. He's in the zone again, so he's kind of excited to go in there and fight. But we get to see Krillin this episode very briefly, you know. Krillin's already there because I forget that Krillin's a police officer. We never spend any time with Krillin, so it's easy to forget what he's doing. But he shows up while Krillin is trying to thwart this bank robbery. But the Great Saiyan kind of clobbers Krillin on accident. And the robbers mention the fact, hey, you know, you should recognize us from before. Now, here's where we kind of flash back to what I'm assuming is supposed to be a moment from Dragon Ball Z. Of course, it was definitely redrawn. And I don't remember if this actually happened in Dragon Ball Z or not, or if they're just sort of pretending like it happened. I mean, you know, because they didn't use footage from Dragon Ball Z. It was definitely some new footage, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It could mean that they just redrew it. But I don't remember these specific guys. I mean, I don't remember a lot of the Great Saiyan saga. So anyway, But this is the moment where the little creature that escaped from Jaco comes back into play, right? Just in case you forgot about that. So somehow it ends up on Earth. They don't show us any of that. They just kind of, it just goes to Earth for some reason. But you know, we don't know all the details of this thing. All we know is that it's very dangerous and Jaco is trying to capture it. We see him for a second, but it latches on to this robber and kind of, you know, like a parasite, and sort of gives him super strength. You know, he seems to kind of be possessed, and he just kind of attacks Gohan like some kind of rabid animal. Of course, it doesn't take much for Gohan to put him down, though, which I was excited about because I was saying, please don't tell me they're going to somehow make this little fucking creature attach itself to this random bank robber and all of a sudden he's going to be as strong as Gohan. No, they didn't do that. Thank goodness. Not that Gohan is very strong these days, but he's still really strong, right? And we even get this cool moment where he's standing on the car and he's about to sort of, I guess, put this thing to an end. So he starts to charge up a Kamehameha, and he says, oh wait, on second thought, great Saiyaman beam, and he just kind of like, because the cops are watching him, so he just does his little blast instead. I mean, I guess he felt like they would recognize the Kamehameha wave. It was funny though. It was a funny moment. So then Krillin shows up and he's like, Gohan, what are you doing? You know, yeah, like, you know, you're too old to be dressed like this. And I was thinking to myself, it's like, he's not that damn old. But I guess when you think about it, you know, he when he first started doing this, he was in high school. So you could assume that he was 16 or something. And now he's got to be in his 20s at least. But, you know, it just was a nice moment for Krillin to go and Gohan to at least acknowledge one another. Okay. But so the great Saiyaman bank robbery thwarting makes the news, and they're kind of theorizing that the actual actor of the movie is the real great Saiyaman, maybe. But Gohan shows back up to set, and the crew on set is saying, now, no, we know that it's Gohan now because he took the suit with him, so it's him. But luckily for Gohan, Bulma shows up. She comes up with this story about making an extra suit that, you know, she actually made, I guess, 3 instead of 2. And it was stolen from the lab, and that kind of lets him off the hook, because now he can just say, well, someone stole the extra one, and that's the person who actually is the great Saiyaman to help Gohan out. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier. We find out in this moment that Bulma is the one who made these suits. So now it starts to make perfect sense why they're so accurate, right? Because she actually made them for the production. Because earlier in the episode, I was saying, man, this has been a good opportunity. Like, how would they have known exactly what the suits look like? Well, because the same person that made Gohan's made the ones for the movie. Okay, so it's kind of nice for them to bring that back around. That's something they very well could have just not even mentioned. And it wouldn't have been that crazy for the Dragon Ball world to do something like that. So then we go up to the rooftop, where Gohan is kind of talking to Bulma and just saying, thanks for kind of bailing me out. She's saying, it's okay. I know you get kind of carried away whenever you throw the suit back on. Just make sure you put your family first, all this kind of stuff. And this is where the girl, Coco, comes back around. She's eavesdropping and she hears them talking about it. So at this point, she knows that Gohan is the great Saiyaman, right? It kind of reminds me of, you know, in Dragon Ball Z during the saga. Remember whenever he was, before he was the Great Saiyan, he was running around as the Gold Fighter. He would just power up to Super Saiyan mode, and then they just called him the Gold Fighter because he had gold hair, right? And someone discovered his identity or something like that. There was a girl, I think, that he was hanging out with. Erasa, right? I think that's who it was. And eventually she ended up somehow finding out that he was the great Saiyaman, and it was all super weird. And I hope I'm remembering that stuff correctly, but it reminds me of this. So this girl is saying she wants to help. She wants to practice her lines with him. Some of this stuff was kind of sexual, man. Right? I mean, the way they were playing it, it was almost like she was trying to hit on him. And Gohan's like, I thought you wanted to go to your place to study, to practice lines. I'm like, man, why would you? Don't do that, Gohan. Do you not know how to be married? Don't, like, insist that you go back to a girl's house. You know, you have a wife, man. It doesn't mean you're going to do anything. but she's gonna think that you are anyway. She just kind of says, look, don't worry about it. You know, I won't tear your secret. I'll keep your secret safe with me, but only on one condition. And, you know, he just kind of flies her around in a moment that's a little bit too romantic for this random girl. Right? You know, they're flying in front of the moon and shit. I'm like, man, you haven't even done that with Videl. Can Videl even fly anymore? I remember Videl could fly in Dragon Ball Z. Gohan taught her how to fly. But like, they just don't even acknowledge any of that stuff anymore. So I guess the whole point of this really was to give him a reason to run into Jaco, because Jaco was up in the sky. Okay, because he's looking for the little creature. And Jaco knows who the Great Saiyaman is, but he doesn't know that Gohan is the Great Saiyaman. So he's just assuming that whoever it is, that little creature I'm chasing is probably attached to him. Based on what? I don't know. But Jaco hasn't exactly proven himself to be the most competent of space cops, and maybe that's just part of his character, right? So he pulls out this big ass gun and he fires this blast right at Gohan, and the girl is on his back, and that's where the episode ends. And I was not expecting it to end like that. I didn't think for one second that this episode, that this storyline would be continued. You know, I did not envision this being more than one episode, because it just doesn't seem like that kind of a thing. You know, but I really like the end credits here. The end credits is kind of like, it's almost like they're showing a manga, a page from the manga. So I thought that was cool. I never talk much about that, but it's very awesome how they just change up the end credits randomly. All of a sudden you have a brand new song. There'll be a brand new animation. And this one was pretty cool, because it was like the camera was panning up like a manga page. And it just looked really cool. But I definitely was not expecting this to be a multiple part story, but it wasn't the worst thing. I enjoyed this episode. I mean, you know, once again, I've talked a lot about filler episodes, because that's what we've had for the past couple weeks, and that one with Hit was probably one of the first ones, probably one of the best filler episodes I've ever seen ever. So I'm not expecting anything to really top that. Nothing really substantial happened in this episode. But I liked it because, A, we got to see, I really liked the beginning. That whole space cantina sort of Star Wars Spaceballs thing was pretty cool. You know, it just looked really good. Even though I'm not a big fan of Jaco, it was still kind of refreshing to see him, just because it's always bad when a show forgets about characters. So we can revisit him. I'm okay with that. And plus, we didn't get a lot of him, so that's cool. And then we got to spend a lot of time with Gohan. You know, and Videl and Mr. Satan. And we just got this fun little side story. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that they would try to make a movie based on the Great Saiyaman. You know, it really wasn't the worst idea for an episode at all. It really wasn't. So it's nice to see that the writers have been experimenting here a lot with these filler episodes. You know, they're trying to get creative. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen in the next episode. I would imagine that Rey, that beam that Jaco shot at Gohan, probably wouldn't hurt him. I mean, I couldn't imagine that thing being that powerful, but we'll see, right? Because he also has this girl on his back. I'm going to assume he's just going to dodge that thing or slap it away or something like that. But anyway, I guess we'll find out in part two of the the Gohan Great Saiyaman film saga. What do you think about that? What are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. Remind you guys, head over to Facebook, like the page, please subscribe to the YouTube channel, all the usual stuff, leave me a review. That's about it, guys. So we got a shorter one here. Of course, once again, episode 75 is right around the corner. I've gotten very few suggestions. And one of the main suggestions that I got for what to do, I've already done, and that was make the video about the Broly trailer. So if I don't get any more, then I think I'll just try to figure something out. But it would be a lot better if you guys could just tell me what you're looking to see, because I do this for you guys. So if there's anything in particular you want to hear me talk about, it doesn't have to be related to Dragon Ball necessarily, because on the specialty episodes, episode 25, episode 50, I don't necessarily have to keep it to Dragon Ball. You know, so if there's something else you want me to talk about that could be popular right now or my opinions on it, I can try to talk about that for you. So if you got your suggestions, make sure you send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com, or you can head over to the Facebook page and leave me a comment just on the post for episode 73, or send me a message there. Plenty of options. Just let me know. So anyway, I think that about does it, guys. So until next time for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I am Tim Bridgewater, and I will see you next time.